Thank you. Our theme text for this series of Bible studies is the fourth chapter of the prophet Micah. Our title, Zion, Captive of Babylon. The first part of this chapter is a rather plain prophecy of what Bible believers call the Kingdom Age, that time spoken of by all the prophets and by Jesus and the writers of the New Testament, when this present world order will pass away and the new age of peace and righteousness under the rulership of Jesus Christ will come to the earth. The prophet writes in the first part of this chapter as if that new age is beginning to dawn in a place called the Mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob, and in verse 8, the daughter of Zion and the daughter of Jerusalem. But then he immediately speaks of trouble. Verse 9, Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. The descriptive phrases here indicate something is coming to birth, but the next phrases read, For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. As I remarked earlier in the series, Babylon here must signify enemies of the daughter of Zion, enemies which have conquered Zion, for if this were not so, why would God say to Zion, There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. If you heard my last broadcast, you know I hold that this Babylon spoken of in Micah is identical with the Babylon of the 16th, 17th, and 18th chapters of Revelation. There it is called Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth, and its destruction is prophesied in those chapters. In Revelation 17 and verse 18, the angel tells John that that Mystery Babylon he was seeing was, quote, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So Babylon is something which rules the rulers of the earth, and it is obvious, of course, that for this prophetic Babylon to have captured prophetic Zion must, of necessity, be on the earth. We certainly aren't going to credit some earthly ruling power with the ability to conquer the heavenly abode of God Himself. No, the Zion of Bible prophecy is a place on the earth. I've identified that Zion in previous broadcasts as Christian America, and in part, the nations of what we call Christendom or Christ's dominion. I won't repeat my arguments for identifying America with Zion. If you are new to the broadcast and to this teaching, all I can say is don't turn the dial, stay and listen while I describe Babylon, and as we go on in Revelation 16, 17, and 18, I shall draw you a word picture of Mystery Babylon the Great, a word picture, God willing, by which you will recognize both Babylon of prophecy and Zion of prophecy. Now, while some of you are getting your Bibles to read along with me, I will offer our free packet of literature for the month of July. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. We have several items in the July packet, but the important one I want radio listeners to read is a booklet titled The Rapture of the Wicked. It proves with very cogent arguments that the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture or removal of the Christians from the earth is a false doctrine. Regardless of your stand on the pre-tribulation rapture, you should read this book. Brother Jones has taken passages used by rapture teachers, compared them with what is taught and what the passages actually say, and compared them with other prophecies. The result is to prove beyond doubt that the followers of Jesus Christ will be here on the earth during the great time of tribulation spoken of by Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 24, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Many ministers teach that is the great tribulation, which will take place after the Christians leave. But Jesus was answering the question in verse 3, what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And part of his answer was in verse 9, where he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. In Luke 21, in answer to the same question, Jesus said in verse 12, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons. Verse 16, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. He was describing the same time of tribulation. Now, if all the Christians are to be gone from the earth in those days described by Jesus, why did Jesus tell us in his word that his followers would be killed in that time of tribulation? You write to me and ask for the July packet and read The Rapture of the Wicked. The packet will also include a list of about 40 other books and tracts which are available from us, and a list of over 100 cassette tapes with sermons or radio broadcasts on Bible prophecy. All of this is free, no charge, but we won't turn down your offerings toward the radio, of course. You write, offering or no, to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the July packet. That address again is America's Promise, Box 5334, that's 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And by the way, if you heard last week's broadcast on the man of sin, I have a 3-hour Bible study on tape on that subject, the man of sin. It is on two cassettes titled The Saved versus the Man of Sin. You may have both cassettes for an offering of $5 to this radio ministry. The packet is free, but if you want the 3-hour cassette study on the man of sin, ask for it by that name or title and send a $5 offering. The address will be repeated at the end of the broadcast. All right, to Prophetic Babylon, Revelation 16. 2 weeks ago, we outlined Revelation 15 and most of 16, where John saw a vision of seven angels having the seven golden vials of the seven last plagues to be poured out upon the earth. When the sixth angel poured out his vial in Revelation 16:12, it was followed by the three unclean spirits in verse 13, which went forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, verse 14, and then in verse 16, the place of their gathering is called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Then as John saw the gathering of the kings of the earth, but before the battle, in verse 17, he saw the seventh angel pour out his vial into the air, followed in verse 18 by voices, thunders, and lightnings, and a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Then, finally, Great Babylon is mentioned, the first time in this long passage, and the second time in the book of Revelation. Its previous mentioning was in Revelation 14 and verse 8, which we will read later. Here, in Revelation 16 and verse 19, it says, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That implies destruction, at least in part, possibly in whole. In any case, God's wrath is here to be directed against great Babylon. Now, if you will recall, When we read this in detail 2 weeks ago, I said then, as I say now, that this Babylon is in existence upon the earth now, and that I believed the earthly Babylon into three parts has already taken place. It is past history, and it is not a physical quake of the planet, as some teach. In verse 18 of Revelation 17, the angel told John, Babylon the Great is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. To put it another way, Great Babylon is the ruler of the rulers, and just before it is destroyed, it will be divided into three parts. I describe the present three parts of Great Babylon. Number one, Russia and its sphere of influence and control in Asia, Eastern Europe, and parts of Africa. Number two, China and its sphere of control in Asia, including India and Southeast Asia and parts of Africa. And number three, the Western Hemisphere and Western Europe, with the rulers of the United States being the dominating force in those areas. The cooperation between the rulers of these three so-called superpowers is still mostly hidden. But millions of Americans are beginning to suspect that the great words of criticism and anger which passed publicly between these three supergovernments and which are so ballyhooed in the public press are really all part of a staged show for the people. Many now suspect that the rulers of America only pretend enmity to the rulers of Russia, and the rulers of Russia only pretend enmity to the rulers of China, and so on. For they can now see that there is literally no major activity by any of the three governments which are in any way damaging to the rulers of the other two governments. Although tens of thousands, yes, even millions of people die in so-called wars between these superpowers, such as in Korea, Southeast Asia, and now in several wars in Africa, the ruling powers of each of these governments remains intact and grows stronger, not weaker. Although some seem to be at cross purposes with others, and even carry on wars in which their own people are killed, the men who make up those ruling governments remain literally unscathed. In verse 19 of Revelation 16, it says, And the cities of the nations fell. In verse 20, And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Cities in Bible prophecy represent systems of government. Islands, hills, and mountains stand for small, medium, and large-sized nations. In symbolism, what John saw was nations and their governments disappearing. If we look at what is happening in the world today, we will see independent nations are disappearing one by one as they are literally absorbed or eaten up by one of the three parts of Babylon. Oh, they remain names on the maps, and many people believe the nations still exist, but they are dependent satellites, subservient to one of the three superpowers. The cities of the nations are falling, and the islands and mountains are disappearing, swallowed up by Mystery Babylon. And remember, most of this world guttled from the people of the earth. Otherwise, it would not fit its biblical name, Mystery, or Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, a part of that present world government, called here in Revelation Babylon, is more visible than other parts. The more visible part of that super world government, on which I will now comment, is called the United Nations. The United Nations is supposedly a legal conglomeration of the rulers of the earth, and that world government rules over the United States would be obvious to any American citizen if he would take the time to observe its activities and the acts of the American rulers in relation to the United Nations orders. President Truman, in 1951, after he announced the war in Korea and moved our troops to Korea, admitted the United States was fighting a war under orders from the United Nations. When General MacArthur, other military leaders, and many U.S. congressmen called upon President Truman to carry the war into North Korea and defeat them and end the war, President Truman informed them and the people of the United States he could not do such a thing because he had to obey the mandates of the United Nations, that this was, quote, a United Nations police action, unquote. In simple terms, the President of the United States had a ruler above him, a ruler he was required to obey, and he admitted it, although most Americans did not realize what he was admitting. 12 years later, when President Johnson ordered several hundred thousand American teenagers to be shipped to South Vietnam to begin a war there, he stated publicly that we were going to South Vietnam to carry out the terms of the CETO Treaty. The full name of that was the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, and CETO is a branch of the United Nations. The American boys were required to fight, to kill and to be killed, but never to win on orders from the United Nations. 250,000 young American boys were killed or maimed for life in Southeast Asia during that insane United Nations-controlled war. Who gave the orders that prevented them from winning, or in many cases, from even defending themselves? Well, nominally President Johnson and later President Nixon. But what was the original source of the orders? The United Nations, something which ruled over the rulers of all nations, including our own. Recently, Americans were surprised to see their own government, or what they thought was their own government, transferring territory of the United States called the Panama Canal Zone to a communist-dominated foreign government, Panama. What they did not realize was that the United States has not controlled the Panama Canal for many years. If the United States had really controlled the Panama Canal during the Korean and Vietnam Wars, would it have made sense that they would have allowed warships and cargo ships of their enemies to pass through it? And yet that is exactly what happened. Russian, British, and many other ships carrying military supplies to North Vietnam regularly passed through the Panama Canal during the Vietnam War. And not only that, the United States government was further ordered by the United Nations that it was not to blockade nor interfere with ships entering or leaving Haiphong, the only seaport in the whole of North Vietnam. And the U.S. rulers obeyed. Scores of United States battleships and several aircraft carriers sat out in the China Sea off Vietnam for 8 long years, prohibited by United Nations orders from firing a shot or interfering with any ships bringing food and war supplies to North Vietnam. Several multinational oil companies sold gasoline, oil, and munitions to both North Vietnam and to the United States, and delivered their product to both North and South Vietnam in time of war without interference by either side. During the Vietnam War, literally thousands of U.S. ships docked in Saigon and at Da Nang. At any one time, from a dozen to a score of them would be in the harbors. Although the Viet Cong guerrillas had 120-millimeter Russian rockets, which they launched regularly into the residential areas of Saigon from the Mekong Delta, not once did those rockets ever strike a United States ship or any foreign ship in Saigon or Da Nang Harbor. Not once did those rockets strike any of the hundreds of warehouses holding these war supplies. Not once did those rockets strike either the South Vietnam or the U.S. government buildings in Saigon or U.S. oil storage depots. The Viet Cong rockets killed only South Vietnamese people and American teenage soldiers. the supplies to carry on the war had safe passage and safe storage afforded by both sides. Who was it who commanded the Viet Cong not to hit American ships or American warehouses? Was it the same power that commanded the American forces not to strike the North Vietnamese harbors and supplies? In 10 years of warfare, only one U.S. government building was attacked or damaged in Saigon. That was the U.S. Embassy during the so-called Tet Offensive in February of 1968, when less than 10 guerrillas attacked the embassy and were killed. Thousands of U.S. government officials walked the streets of Saigon almost at will for 10 years. The Viet Cong guerrillas left them alone. During that same time, the same Viet Cong guerrillas killed tens of thousands of teenage Americans in soldier uniforms. This almost unbelievable condition continued in Vietnam for almost 10 years, and yet the mental condition of the American people is such that even today, most of them do not realize that such conditions could prevail only if the rulers of both sides had prior agreements as to what or who could be destroyed and what or who could not. Who was it who commanded the Viet Cong to kill only American soldiers and not U.S. government officials? Was it the same power which prevented U.S. planes from bombing North Vietnam? Is it the same power which today prevents our government from preparing to protect and defend America from the Holocaust of a future war? The news media, which projected the pictures of the dead and wounded into our living rooms every night and on the front pages of our newspapers every day, for almost 10 years of that war, now have no time nor space to even mention the almost unbelievable butchery which is now going on in Southeast Asia. They never, but never, show pictures of victims of communist aggression. It is possible that over 100,000 people have been killed in Africa by Cuban and Russian armies in the last 12 months. Hardly a picture of the battles or the dead ever reaches an American television set, an American magazine, or an American newspaper. Russia, Cuba, and China operate at will in Africa, and what is the United Nations doing? Well, according to the New York Times, less than 3 weeks ago, a United Nations committee announced a proposed United Nations-ordered oil embargo on South Africa and that it could bring down that government in as little as 2 years. The United Nations, in its 30-plus years of existence, has yet to utter one objection or to make one move detrimental to world communism. Against whom is its power directed? Always and forever, against any nation which has not totally bowed its knee to its world government. It is working for the overthrow now of the last governments in the world which still oppose United Nations rule over the earth. American foreign policy is being directed to that same end, to the overthrow of the white people of Rhodesia and South Africa, while ignoring and openly aiding Russia and China in their assault on the other nations in Africa. The three parts of Great Babylon are operating in concert, and the cities of the nations are falling, just as the verse said, and the islands and the mountains are disappearing. Is it possible there is more to the United Nations than we have been led to believe, but instead is a somewhat visible part of an otherwise invisible world government which already controls almost every king and ruler of the earth? Is it possible that if we could see the rest of this control force and mechanism, that we could then read the rest of Revelation 17 and 18 and say, "Eureka, I have found it. I have found mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth"? Is it possible that pro-United Nations propaganda and church doctrine such as the rapture theory and the future Antichrist are really falsehoods of Babylon, designed to cover up the truth that a present Antichrist world government already exists, and to keep her hidden from those she has captured and is capturing. More on that next week, God willing, as we go on in Revelation 17 and 18. Meanwhile, write for the Free July Literature and read our booklet, The Rapture of the Wicked. In Revelation 17 and 18, we will find proof that the believers in Christ will be here during the fall of Babylon. In fact, it is they who are prophesied to be the instruments of her destruction. It is time you knew who you were and who Babylon is. Write for the Free Literature. Help us with your tithes and offerings, that we may get the vision and make it plain upon tables for God's people via these radio broadcasts and this literature. The announcer will give my address in just a moment. Tell us the station over which you heard this program. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at the same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.